We welcome you to this somewhat of a unique presentation in our time, and it's a unique season of life for us in our country and around the world. But we do thank you for being a part, and we hope our time together will be an encouragement to you. Just a little note of information is that Kyle Palmer on our Facebook, our chapel Facebook, will have kind of a sing-along time Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. So if you would like to join into that, that's open to all, and we just wanted to let you know that. As we start, we want to have a little time in the Word, hoping something that will be a comfort and encouragement. And let's just ask God to help us in our time. Father, we do thank you. You're an awesome, all-powerful, loving God. And our prayer is that the words that are spoken will be pleasing to you and encouraging and comforting to each one who hears. May you guide me, direct me. May the Spirit of God work. So we just thank you. In Jesus' amazing and precious name, amen. I was talking to my brother last night, and he lives in Mississippi, and we were reviewing some of our memories. And one of my great memories as a kid growing up was my dog named Spot. And we had lots of adventures together. He was a great dog. But one of the things about Spot, one of his weaknesses, was he was terrified of thunder and lightning. And, of course, in the Midwest where I was raised, there was a lot of thunder and lightning. In fact, we believe that probably at one time during a lightning storm that he must have been nipped a little bit by he would sleep often at the drain pipe, and maybe lightning ran down that drain pipe and nipped him. But anyway, when a storm would come up, he would be gone perhaps for days, hiding somewhere. I remember one time after a storm, we could not find him anywhere. And finally, several days later, we found him under my uncle's deck. And my dog was hiding there, just petrified. Well, you know, it reminds me that in our time right now with this virus that is worldwide, it's like being in a terrible lightning storm. And people are very fearful, very anxious, and we understand that. We want to be sensitive to that. How do we respond? What do we do? Well, I want to go to a passage of Scripture that I imagine is familiar to many, but is very helpful from God's perspective to help us during times like this. In Philippians 4, and I hope you've gone here. I know I recently sent out a little blurb encompassing this verse, but I want to go back to it. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Another version puts it this way. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Now, obviously, the problem that we're facing here, we're talking about, is being anxious, being overly anxious. Now, of course, the word that is used here in the original language has a realistic element to it, and that is appropriate. It's a positive to be concerned about things that could be harmful. Obviously, in our culture, the governments have placed down certain restrictions, and wisely, we should heed those instructions out of concern, because we don't want to get the virus, nor do we want to pass on the virus. So there's a realistic concern. But there's also the negative connotation in our passage, and that is when we begin to fret, in such a way that it just takes over our lives and becomes overwhelming, just like it was with my dog. When it becomes so overwhelming that we are not able to really deal with life effectively, we become restless and worried and almost impaired as a result. God does not want us to be anxious. And notice, this is interesting, about anything. Well, that includes what we're facing, doesn't it? About anything. Now, it doesn't mean we're not to be careful, but it does mean we're not to be overly anxious about this. You know, there are many worries in the world beyond this one. And we know there are financial issues, there's all kinds of stress issues, there's family issues, all of these things that can overwhelm us. And God brings us back, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Now, we might read this and think, you know what, God, that seems a little unrealistic. That doesn't seem possible. How could you ask us to do this? Well, God doesn't just give us the instruction, but he gives us a way to approach it so that we can actually live it out. Be anxious for nothing, but, and he gives us provision. We have the problem, we got the provision, but in everything, remember, see that contrast, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, nothing, everything, in everything, all inclusive, we are to face everything, every situation, every thing that we have to deal with, whether it's this virus or other issues, that we face them in prayer, in everything, going to the Lord immediately. You know, we think, well, I know that's something I'm aware of. But oftentimes, isn't it true, we don't actually practice that. We don't actually put it into the experience of our life. God wants us to pray about everything. You know, when I used to have a young friend, she was like a daughter to us, and she was a little distracted. And when she'd get in the car, and you think, oh man, I wonder how she's going to do this. But you know what? She's a great little young Christian girl. And first thing she'd do before we'd take off, if I was riding with her, she'd pray. You know, we need to pray about the various issues of life and this part of life, this issue with this virus that's going around. You know, about food and about caring for our loved ones, about the neighbors, praying for them. There's so many things to pray for. Praying for the salvation of those people who don't know the Lord. In everything, we are to pray. Now, prayer is really an expression of faith. I am reminded of the story of Daniel. Remember Daniel in the lion's den? And we think of the story. Of course, a lot of children's books include this story, but it was a real story. It's not just a made-up story. And remember the King Darius, who was in charge, and he had some advisors who really were very jealous, which a lot of times is just a part of life. They were jealous of Daniel. And so they knew Daniel was a man of prayer. And so they came up with this scheme, going to the king, say, oh, king, and I read part of this. This is out of the book of Daniel, chapter 6. If anyone makes a petition to any god or man beside you, O king, for 30 days shall be cast into the lion's den. What a setup. And of course, the king, apparently in his kind of his ego, thought, oh, that would be a great idea. But the problem was it was a setup to get Daniel thrown into the lion's den. Well, you know what? Daniel knew the scheme, but he still prayed. It says in verse 10 of Daniel 6, when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he entered his house. Now in his roof chamber, he had windows open toward Jerusalem, and he continued, notice, he continued on his knees 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God, as he had done previously. Now you remember he prayed, and then of course his opponents, his enemies caught him, right? They came in, they saw him praying. Well, they had him just where he wanted him, took him before the king, and he's going to be put into the lion's den. That's exactly what happened. Their scheme, it seemed to work. But as you remember, God protected Daniel and the lions didn't touch Daniel. But this is the interesting thing I want you to remember. In Daniel 6:23, it says, Daniel was taken up out of the den. This is after he had got through the night untouched by the lions. And no injury whatever was found on him because he had trusted in his God. You see, Daniel was a man of prayer. Daniel was a man of faith. He trusted God. We need to just call into the Lord and trust him to care for us during times of stress and anxiety. We need to have this confidence in our great God. In one version it says, this is on Isaiah 26:3, it says, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, whose thoughts are fixed on you. You see, prayer helps us fix our thoughts on the Lord and helps us increase our trust in the Lord. God wants us to trust him. God wants us to come before him in everything with all of our needs, to pray about these things and entrust him to care for us during times like this. One writes, since we live in a troubled world, there are so many opportunities to exercise faith. These tight spots may come disguised as problems, but faith sees them as opportunities. The famous missionary, and he goes on to write, the author, the famous missionary Hudson Taylor, once said that he liked to find himself in a corner so that he could see what God would do to get him out of it. Now, we're in a corner as a culture, right? And what is God going to do to get us and help us and deal with us and get us out of this corner? Well, we don't know exactly how God's going to unfold things. But for the Christian, for the believer, we can trust him. But in order to do that, we need to pray to him. We need to draw near to him, close to him. And notice, in everything by prayer and supplication. Prayer is general request. You know, we say, God, pray that, you know, I think of my grandkids, you know, God, pray, keep them healthy, right? Keep them safe. And my sons and my daughter-in-laws and my neighbors and the chapel family. We have a lot of dear, dear saints who are in that zone, are very vulnerable in this time of this illness. We pray for them. And then specific things. We pray for specific needs. People we know specifically could really be endangered by this. But we pray for, we cry out in supplication for those unique situations, those unique needs. God, really help this dear, dear one. Protect them, bless them, encourage them, provide for their needs. Supplication. And then notice this, and this is what Daniel did, if you remember what we read. In everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, with thanksgiving. Think of all the things, and it doesn't specifically say what to thank God for, but think of all the things that God has done for you in the past, the prayers he's answered for you in the past, the way he's provided for you in the present. All the ways we say, God, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, just like I was saying, reviewing with my brother situations of the past and how God met needs and provided and carried us and gave his parents and all of those blessings. God, thank you for those things. You see, when we draw near to the Lord and we thank him for things, it reminds us he's been so faithful to us in the past. We can trust him in the present. God loves us so much. And as we thank him, we're reminded of all that he has been to us and all that he is to us. We focus on God. And then notice as our passage goes on, it says, in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Again, we come back to specific request. Specific, God, I need this. God, help me with this. Help us get through this day. God, give us wisdom how to respond in a certain situation. And we're not just talking about this particular virus. Life is filled with all kinds of challenges. All kinds of things. I don't know what to do. But we request, come to God. God, show us what to do. Show us how to respond. God, meet this need. We draw near to him. We draw near to him. One puts it of this, to God, it implies fellowship and intimacy with God. Intimacy. times that are difficult should remind us and draw us into closer relationship with the Lord. Because one thing we realize, we need him, but also we realize we can draw near to him. We come to him and we ask him to help us, and we enjoy knowing that he is with us. Isn't it a wonderful passage in 1 Peter 5:7? Maybe this is a good passage for you to remember and memorize if you haven't already. It says, casting all your anxiety upon him because he cares for you. You know, when you draw near to the Lord and you remember, he cares for me. He's with me. He's for me. He will not abandon me. And we can cast our cares on him. We can say, God, I have this issue. I have this struggle. I don't know what to do with it. I throw it upon you, knowing that he cares for us. Isn't that an amazing thing? What a wonderful provision we have. And then we have this promise. This takes us into Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, after we call unto the Lord, we thank the Lord, we stay tight with the Lord, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Notice the peace, you know, not of the world. The world doesn't have any peace most of the time. The peace of God. The peace of God. And it says, the peace of God will meet our needs. It will guard our hearts. Remember what the Lord Jesus said. This is in John 14:27. The Lord Jesus said to his close followers, peace I leave with you. And then he says, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. I think it's so wonderful, the little phrase, my peace. He has perfect peace. And that's the peace he offers us. He cares so much for it. His peace is available to us. Not as the world gives. The world has you know, these little blurbs, these little blinks, these little moments of peace, a little unsettled situation. But you know what? We need something far bigger than that. We need the peace of Christ to embrace our hearts. Notice the peace of God. This is also in that same context of John, but in John 16:33, it says, these things I have spoken to you. Jesus is talking. These things I've spoken to you. He's saying to his followers, so that in me you may have peace. In me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation. Now, don't we see, that's obvious, right? It's all around tribulation, not just with this virus, but wars and all kinds of tensions and animosities. But these things I spoke so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation. Take courage. I have overcome the world. You know, no matter what happens in life, Christ is the victor. And he's the one that offers peace. It's his peace, and it can surpass all that we have to face. And that's what the passage goes on to say. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension. It goes beyond. It is mind-blowing. It's mind-boggling. It's beyond our understanding. Notice, surpasses all comprehension. In other words, we can experience peace, but we may not always understand why we're at peace, because it's a peace of Christ that permeates our heart. And notice what it does. It says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension. It sometimes doesn't make sense, but it surpasses our ability to understand it. But that peace will guard your hearts and minds. It's a wonderful thing. His peace will guard us. Just think, if it's kind of the word guard is used like of a centurion who would be guarding the castle or be guarding the city. And we might think of it as a bodyguard, you know, somebody that's big and strong and knows what they're doing, and they can protect us. God's peace can protect us, guard our hearts and our minds. As one says, protecting the mental, emotional, and spiritual life from enemy intrusion. I like that. You know, Satan would keep us anxious, but Christ would provide peace to us, protecting us from enemy intrusion. And notice this last, protecting us, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus. Again, a commentator writes, the sphere in which the safekeeping takes place in Christ. Let me say this. It's only in Christ that we can know this peace. This is true for every Christian. When a person trusts Christ to be their personal Savior, the Spirit of God takes that believer and places them into an intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus. They're in Christ, and it's in that sphere, in that realm, in Christ, that we can experience this wonderful, wonderful peace. You know, it reminds me that if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus, if you've never trusted Him as your Savior, this time above people is a great reminder of our need to trust Him, not just to get through a virus, but to get through life and to enter into eternity, for eternity to be in the presence of God and enjoy the ultimate and eternal peace of God. Oh, may none of us miss that. May you not walk away from Christ, but run to Him at this time. Pray to Him, thank Him, and enjoy His peace. His peace that can surround our hearts. Their story is told by Lehman Strauss. He said, the telephone awakened us at 3 a.m. It was an emergency room nurse calling from a hospital in a neighboring town. And she said, your son has been in an automotive accident, and I suggest that you come right away. Dr. Strauss said, I asked, how serious is the injury? The nurse said, I would just suggest that you come right away. Dr. Strauss said, as he and his wife Mary drove, it was about 15 miles to the hospital. We prayed aloud, committing our son Mark to the Lord and thanking Him. Notice, thanking Him for whatever God was about to do. We had no idea whether our son was alive or dead, whether he would be a normal functioning human being or a vegetable. But God gave both of us a settled inner peace, that kind that defies explanation. Just what we're talking about in Philippians. They said Mark and some other Christians had driven to Disneyland after work that evening, and we had given him permission to stay until it closed at 1 a.m., early in the morning. Then came the two-hour drive home. The driver had lost control of the car, and it flipped. And Mark, our son, had been thrown through the window, and with the car coming to a rest just 18 inches from his head. When we arrived at the emergency room, Mark was just regaining consciousness. His injuries were not critical, and today the incident has almost been forgotten. But the memory of God's supernatural peace lives on. It comes right back to our passage. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. May that be true for each one of us. May we call upon the Lord and allow His peace to guard our hearts. May that be true for you. Let me pray for you. God, it is a very unique time in our history. And we know it is stressful for so many. And Father, we pray for the safekeeping. We pray for the safekeeping of our loved ones, of our community, of our country. But also, Father, we pray that people might come to trust the Lord Jesus, first of all, for their salvation. Because we know that's where ultimate security, ultimate peace comes from. But then, Father, for those of us who know the Lord, may we just be faithful and consistent to pray and to thank you, drawing an intimate relationship with you so we can enjoy your peace during this time when anxiety is so rampant. Father, we thank you that you are the God of all peace, and we rest ourselves in your perfect care and your perfect peace. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.